gentlemen, for this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. So glad you're joining us. Thank you so much for your belief and your trust in us. You know, a lot of things seem to be taking place. So just look up. What do you see? You know, compare what you see in the skies, a clear day, the leavings by aircraft. Compare that to, I don't know, 50 years ago. When you watch shows like Ponderosa or Mock Bonanza or something, you know, where do you see the big skies? You know, that's just one example. People say, well, you know, I'm really not sold on chemtrails, right? Okay. Despite the fact that there are patents out there for, you know, the aircraft leavings.
Hey, I don't see, I'm not sold on Fukushima. I don't see the radiation pouring into to the atmosphere. Right?
Well, and speaking of radiation, folks, in enhancing your health, protecting your privacy and data, I would urge everyone to visit Blockit Pocket, B-L-O-C-K-I-T, BlockitPocket.com, BlockitPocket.com. If you want to be protected, if you want to protect your health, for example, from the radiation from the cell phone, and studies have proven that there's a higher incidence of brain tumors and such when you have your cell phone up against your ear. Visit blockitpocket.com for the solution. You can protect your data and your privacy when your phone or your tablet, your computer's not in use. You can use the Blockit Pocket or Blockit Talkit to use your phone safely with minimized radiation. You can enhance your health and protect your body with the Blockit Blanket. I mean, there's so many products that this company has. We're so proud to be able to talk about their products. We use all of the products from a Blockit Pocket, and we like them. Folks, visit BlockitPocket.com and get your answer today to how you can protect yourself from harmful radiation, how you can protect your data, and check them out. See, go to their website, blockitpocket.com, check out how it works, and definitely let them know you heard about them on the Hagman and the Hagman Report. Our guest now is Dan Wigington. His website, geoengineeringwatch.com. He's been on our show before. Joe, I'll kick it over to you.
Yes, he has, and it's great to have him back. Folks, go to geoengineeringwatch.org. That's geoengineeringwatch.org. And there, bookmark Mr. Wigington's site. There is so much there from current events, geoengineering information, climate, what's going on with the climate, so much more. And you can get links there to the YouTube channel, the social media sites, and everything in between. With that, Mr. Wigington, welcome back to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for being willing to continue addressing this incredibly dire issue the public is still not fully aware of.
Well, Dane, go ahead and make them aware and start wherever you want to start. The time is yours, my friend.
Well, I also want to field any questions you guys have, but let me back up to what you mentioned on the intro. That the condensation trail lie should be considered one of the biggest lies ever perpetrated on populations all over the globe. And I would ask people not to believe me on that, but to challenge their sense of reason. You can't turn a condensation trail on and off or stop it like it was cut with a knife in the atmosphere. We have film footage of all this. We have up-close photographs of retrofit nozzles mounted on the pylons aimed directly into the exhaust stream to make this look like, quote, condensation. We know the physics of a high-bypass turbofan jet engine, which is all commercial carriers and all military tankers. Jet-powered fan designed for fuel efficiency, 85% of the air that moves through that engine is non-combusted. By design, nearly incapable of producing a condensation trail except under the most extreme and rare circumstances. So, again, I would challenge people not to believe me, but to simply look up and ask yourself, how can you have grid patterns in the sky one day and nothing the next? How can you have jets passing over during the daytime, and in many locations we'll see them leaving horizon-to-horizon trails. Same location, same day, and at night often we'll see planes leaving nothing at the same time, or during the same time of the day, rather. We can see one jet leaving a trail from horizon to horizon, and if you're at a spot where you can hear and notice the jets going over that are leaving nothing, people need to challenge their sense of reason. How could you have one aircraft leaving a trail from horizon to horizon, the other aircraft leaving nothing? And bottom line, as you guys correctly stated, we have patents for this. We have Senate documents, 750 pages long, presidential documents. We have every science institution on the planet discussing this issue front and center. Every government all over the globe discussing this issue front and center. All saying we have to do it. We must do it. We're going to need to do it. But none of them admitting it's already going on, because once the population finds out they've been a part of a grand and lethal experiment without their knowledge or consent that's highly toxic and has done irreparable damage to themselves, their children, their health, and the environment, I think we're going to have people in the streets with their pitchforks and torches, guys.
Well, I wish you were I wish you were correct with the pitchfork and torches. Unfortunately, I don't think that will happen until you know, the creature comforts are taken away, such as the internet, the TV, and people's ability to. Yeah, and you know,
I agree with you on that, but that point is very close. And when people understand how much of a part this issue played in that happening, I think at that moment, I would agree with you completely. This is Doug, right? It's hard for me to hear where I'm at.
No, this is Joe.
Joe, I'm sorry, Joe. I didn't know if it was your. Joe, you know, I would agree with you completely on that point, but I would argue that that window is very close. I mean, people certainly will stay in their apathy until the last possible moment. No argument. But when they, when their health wanes and their bubble is popped from an imploding environment and there's nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, and they realize that we're at the end of the paradigm that they have known, at that point, I think we may see the forced wake-up of populations.
Dane, for those people who might be hearing about this for the first time, which I can't believe it, but if you are, okay, thanks for joining us. Here's what we want to know. Who, what, when, where, why, and how, basically, okay? I mean, and I know that's like, what are you talking about? Shut up, Doug. But no, if you can, Dane, if you can address that, when did it start, what is it, why are they doing it, and so on, who's doing it? Can you just give us a kind of a Cliff Notes version of that?
Absolutely. I'll give you the quick rundown. Let's start with this. For those on this issue, it's imperative for legitimacy and credibility to use the science terms. When people go to research this issue, if they use the chemtrails term, although that term is descriptive and many like to use it, it's counterproductive to our cause. Because they search that term, the first thing they come to is conspiracy theory and hoax from official sources, because there's no science basis for that term, even though it accurately describes what we see. If we stick to climate engineering, geoengineering, solar radiation management, those types of terms, we find hard science. The who, what, when, where. Who, all roads lead back to the central bankers. All roads. They control militaries, they control countries, and they certainly control climate engineering. Now, if we look back at the time frames of these programs, they were deployed at a large scale in about 1945, and we have Senate documents to confirm that as of that time, the U.S. government admitted it was the primary global weather modification nation at that time. We'll publish that document again. In fact, your listeners can search geoengineering massive Senate document, and they'll find our site where the original ones to post that document, and they'll find highlighted excerpts so they don't have to trudge through 750 pages, but they'll find highlighted excerpts that will shock them. The stated purpose, the why, the primary stated purpose is solar radiation management to slow down a runaway greenhouse effect. And if we look at data leading up to 1945, governments around the globe were certainly aware that we had a problem on our hands. And this was their stated means of trying to hide that problem. It's not mitigation. It's simply a way to try to hide it from populations as long as possible, to keep business as usual as long as possible. And this is very important, weather warfare. Because any form of climate modification should be, must be, considered a form of weather warfare. There are always massive downstream consequences from intervening with Earth's natural systems. So while they're trying to paint this now, today, as some sort of benevolent program, which couldn't be further from the truth, to try to mitigate climate disintegration, we know from 70 years of data that not only have these programs not mitigated the climate disruptions we see, they're exacerbating them radically. Why would we expect otherwise? Now they're too committed to what they have done to turn back. So what they do is to continue doubling down. And we have weather modification, historical weather, or weather warfare, instances all throughout this history back to 1945. Project Popeye in Vietnam. We have Project Storm Fury. We have incidences recently. Every time a country shows resistance to U.S. policy, they're immediately wiped out with weather disasters. And when we know they have the kind of sway over the weather system that they have, and we can see what they're doing on satellite imagery, we have images, guys, that I'm not sure if you've seen, but I would encourage your listeners to search Geoengineering Watch NASA satellite imagery. They'll see satellite images that leave no question at all that massive climate modification is going on. These photographs are shocking. You don't need to know anything about meteorology. And we have this type of proof to such a degree that there can be no reasonable doubt at this point that these programs are real, ongoing. It's about power and control, ultimately. But there are many, many aspects to this, many layers to it, many objectives to it, and that's important for your listeners to understand also. You can't try to put this in a single box. There are a great complexity of things going on at once.
Yes, there are. And, you know, just to give some people a brief history, cloud seeding is something that we hear of, you know, weather modification. In 1977, the UN... the United Nations General Assembly Resolution 31-72 prohibited the military or any other hostile use of weather modification techniques. That's back in 77. So when you have the United Nations issuing a resolution for you know, basically the banning of weather wars, it shows that they had the capabilities back then. Now, there's countless number of articles. These people will deny the chemtrailing. They'll say, you know, oh, it's just ice crystals in the plane, coming off the back of the plane. And as you said, Dane, you know, one day there will be hundreds of them in the sky, the next day there won't be any. So it doesn't explain, you know, what's really going on there. But from cloud seeding for the purposes of creating or stopping rain, what we have now, admitted by the government, and there's patents out there, as you said, there's proof out there, as you said, the U.S. federal government has admittedly not only been cloud seeding with the intentions of manipulating weather, they've been spraying toxic heavy metals into the atmosphere for the purposes of what they say are, you know, to reflect the sunlight back on into space in order to lower CO2 levels, as they say. Now, that's admitted, and that's been admitted for years. At the same time, they will deny chemtrails. For whatever reason, it's like Pizzagate. You know, the Pizzagate story with Comet Ping Pong Pizza, they say, has been debunked. Whatever. That doesn't mean there's not an international child sex trafficking ring going on, you know, at the highest levels. Same thing with the weather modification and the chemtrailing. Just because they have, you know, demonized the word chemtrailing doesn't mean that they're not, you know, creating weather modification through the spraying of heavy metals into the atmosphere.
Let me back up on that a little bit, if I may. First, to add to the list of things they're doing in the atmosphere, they're ionizing the atmosphere. They're making it more electrically conductive. That's for over-the-horizon radar, for ground-based radio frequency microwave transmitters like HARP that heat the atmosphere, that create high and low pressure zones, that steer the jet stream. So there's all these aspects going on. Back to the terms again, just to reiterate so people understand why those terms are important, I agree with you completely that the chemtrails term is very, very descriptive. It's an accurate term for from a layman's standpoint. We're playing chess in this game. We're absolutely playing chess, and semantics do matter. So when you're dealing with media or any official agency, they are trained and told to walk away when someone uses that chemtrails term. But if you use the geoengineering term, climate engineering term, solar radiation management term, they can't walk away so easily. They can't marginalize you so easily at all, and they don't like that. So we're playing chess. In regard to what the climate engineering programs are sold as, what they're trying to mitigate, it's not to lower CO2, because these programs can't have anything but a negative effect in that regard. When you have aircraft that burn 1 gallon per second, in the case of KC-135s, that adds an unimaginable amount of greenhouse gas to the atmosphere. What the stated purpose is to mask the effects of the greenhouse gas buildup. At the same time, while they're shredding the ozone layer, and we know that they're shredding the ozone layer, in fact, while I'm on that subject, geoengineeringwatch.org is working directly with a former NASA avionics engineer that has historically done work in the ozone layer for NASA, is working directly for us now with metering equipment we supplied him, and based mathematically on his current calculations, his current readings, if we remain on this trajectory, we're looking at a total ozone layer collapse by 2025. It's already unimaginably damaged. We're seeing staggering levels of UV radiation on the planet. Without an ozone layer, terrestrial life on planet Earth is done. And that's how severe our situation is right now. So climate engineering, back to what I stated earlier in the show, as they've used these programs for ultimately for purposes of power and control and to mask the severity of damage done while doing yet more damage, the more damage they do, in their mind, the more they have to ramp up these programs to hide the damage done, inflicting even more damage. I hope that that scenario makes sense. In regard to the CO2 situation, I realize there's a lot of people who have been convinced that the more the better, it's wonderful, it's plant food, we need it. That's all true. We do need it, and it is essential, but too much is not helpful. And this is not about taking sides with Al Gore. I'm not an Al Gore fan, but his hypocrisy is mind-numbing to me, that he can make the kind of film he made and own stock in the very companies he claimed to be fighting. But we have oceans that are acidifying so radically right now that the marine life is dying off in mass. And we have other factors as well. We have Fukushima, as you guys so correctly mentioned. We have the U.S. Navy using what's left of our marine ecosystems for practice, for everything from depleted uranium to other types of explosives, munitions, chemicals. I mean, they're using the ocean for an absolute toxic ballistic waste dump. It's a wonder anything's alive. But on top of that, we have the shredded ozone layer that I mentioned, which is now producing such intense UV, it's slaughtering global plankton. Global plankton populations are down some 50 to 60%. Plankton produce more than half of Earth's oxygen content. It's the base of the food chain. That food chain is collapsing. The oceans are superheating. We're seeing stratification or layering of the ocean. They're not mixing anymore. That's related to climate engineering. And this is very important. We're seeing, because of that heating, we're seeing thawing and releasing formerly frozen methane hydrates on the seabed. And the methane issue is what your listeners should consider, much more than CO2. Methane is exponentially more powerful a greenhouse gas over a 10-year time horizon, from 100 to 120 times more powerful. And we have methane fields in the Arctic alone that contain enough methane in those reservoirs, if fully released, would cause a Permian-style mass extinction on our planet 100 times over. So climate engineering is making all of this worse, not better.
Okay. Okay. Now, I'm just curious. You said, you mentioned the methane field in the Arctic, I believe. Could that, is there something in the Antarctic that's attracting the attention of all kinds of, high officials?
Yes.
Or is that related to what you're referring to or what you're talking about? Or is this, what do you know about that?
Although methane fields are now appearing, methane releases are happening in Antarctica as well, and those reservoirs were not recognized until recently, we appear to have massively powerful ground-based radio frequency microwave transmission centers in Antarctica. We can see the radio frequency signature in places like New Zealand and other locations. And the radio frequency transmissions have very, very dire capabilities. So when we see, and I want to refer this to very hard data from known recognized sources so that people don't roll their eyes and walk away without doing some legitimate investigation. When we see the combination of ground-based radio frequency transmissions focused on a particular location in Earth's strata, they can bounce these signals off the atmosphere because the atmosphere has been made more reflective, electrically conductive. And when we see these signals centered in a particular location, for example, as occurred before the Haiti quake and before the Japanese quake, we have institutions like MIT stating on the record that they monitored unexplainable and radical atmospheric heating directly above the epicenters in those locations and others in the days prior to the quake. Now, we have science institutions that are paid to try to explain things away, trying to somehow connect the atmospheric heating with the pressure in the seismically sensitive zone. That's backwards. That's exactly backwards. The atmospheric heating over those zones which is the signature of the reflection of that signal from the reflected atmosphere being aimed back down into Earth's strata in a seismically sensitive zone, and it heats those zones. What happens, guys, when you put something in the microwave and you crank it up long enough, it explodes. And when you create that kind of heating with microwave transmissions in a sensitive, seismically sensitive zone, bad things happen. Just like with fracking, bad things happen when you start to interfere with Earth's strata. So we have some very diabolical aspects to this that we could go on into for a long time. Back to Antarctica. Again, we see a lot of seismic activity in New Zealand. We saw in 2011 U.S. diplomats were told to leave New Zealand, and they did hours before a devastating quake hit Christchurch. And that was on a day they were scheduled for meetings there. They, without explanation, packed up, picked up, and left. The last quake we just had in New Zealand, John Kerry was there only hours before that quake happened and left. Is this all a coincidence? And for those who don't think that this kind of activity is possible, how many people would have thought that I could be talking to you right now on a box 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 miles away? If we went back 100 or 150 years, people would have thought that was impossible. Splitting the atom was impossible. How many things would they have thought are impossible? But in fact, the data says otherwise. And we have institutions like MIT stating this on the record. So these ground-based microwave transmitters can not only heat the atmosphere, they appear to be able to, in the right area, under the right circumstances, trigger seismic activity.
It's amazing. But it's true. I mean, it. Okay. And I want to just go back as well to the beginning of your presentation or beginning of your time with us. Just allow me to reiterate how important language is. And I want to second your admonition for people to use the correct terminology or use at least different terminology to move away from chemtrails, at least understanding that that draws condemnation. Right or wrong, it does. Whereas climate engineering, solar radiation management has a whole different appeal and feel to it. So thank you for setting us straight on that. And I think it's very important to really get people to start using the correct terminology.
It can't be marginalized. And if your listeners want to see the degree to which the power structure and mainstream media wants to force us to use that term, if they search my name, if they search Dane Whittington, David Pakman. If you guys know who David Pakman is, a mainstream media hitman, in my interview with David Pakman, they will be astounded at that being his primary goal was to force me to use that term, which of course I refused to do, and he became frustrated partway through the interview. But that is a glaring red flag of just how badly they want us to stick to that term. So the semantics do matter. And aside from all the complexities of some of the issues or some of this issue that I've just outlined, for most people, if they really understand or at the point they understand that what they see being sprayed in our skies settles to the air column where every single one of us is inhaling it and absorbing it, it's bioaccumulative, it's building up in our systems. This is a fight for life, nothing less.
Folks, we're talking with our guest, Dane Whittington, geoengineeringwatch.org. He's got he's got the equivalent of a PhD in geoengineering, and he's done the research and has all of his facts together, you can tell. And his website, geoengineeringwatch.org, is the premier website for information of this type. Go ahead. Keep going. I don't want to, just for the listeners out there and Dane, for you, we are going to, forsake our bottom of the hour break. I want to thank our network, Global Star Radio Network, for allowing us to do that. And, we're just going to blow right through to the close of, this hour with you. So pick up wherever you want to pick up and address whatever you think is necessary.
Well, I want to elaborate on what you mentioned about my involvement in this issue so your listeners understand why am I involved. I have a background in solar power. I formerly worked for Bechtel Power Company, and that's a nefarious company like Halliburton. I left at a very young age because of what I saw in that company. I did not want to become like those I saw. But with my background in that industry, and I built a very large off-grid home in Northern California, it was on the cover of Home Power, the world's largest renewable energy magazine. I expected to have skies that could produce solar power with my new off-grid home, and immediately I noted that I was losing on some days where these aircraft trails were expanding and obscuring the sunlight. I was losing on some days with no natural cloud cover whatsoever. I was losing 60, 70, and 80% of my solar PV uptake, my photovoltaic uptake. And that simply cannot be condensation. Absolutely positively is not, it's an impossibility. So I began to do my research, was shocked at the data that I discovered on the geoengineering solar radiation management subject. And again, the express goal of solar radiation management is to block the sun. I had hoped that this wasn't what it appeared to be. I began to test my precipitation, hoping, praying that I would not find the primary elements named in climate engineering patents in my rain, which would prove it was in the air column, which would prove that this is exactly what it appeared to be. I was dismayed at an initial lab test to find 7 parts per billion of aluminum. I consulted with a hydrogeologist who made it clear to me that I should have less than 1 ppb, if anything at all, and it went downhill from there. My subsequent rain tests over the next year and a half went as high as 3,450 parts per billion of aluminum in a single rain test. That's highly toxic rain. That's an escalation of almost 50,000% from an initial baseline test that was already high. I was forced to face the fact that this was absolutely going on in skies above us. It was raining down on everything. Again, bioavailable materials that are bioaccumulative, building up not just in me, but in the ecosystem itself. The ramifications are absolutely beyond cataclysmic. What does one do? When you know this is going on, you understand the totality of what's happening, that this is an existential threat. How can you not face this? And whatever other challenges people are focusing on right now, and we have an immense amount of hypocrisy, again, in the environmental communities that are focusing on a fish here, a frog there, a butterfly somewhere else. And although I care about all those issues, how much will that matter if the entire planet goes down? And that's what we're talking about right now. If they destroy Earth's protective atmosphere, if they irreparably contaminate the soils, game over. And so I would challenge any environmentally minded person, focus on the hole in the bottom of the boat. Don't play shuffleboard on the deck. Focus on the fact that the boat is going down and we'll all go with it if we don't plug this hole. And we have many other challenges to face, I grant. But if Earth's life support systems are damaged beyond any recovery in any time frame that matters, that's the end of the road.
Yeah, and you know, the hypocrisy, you're exactly right. They'll sit here and lay a guilt trip on us, telling us our carbon footprint is too big and we're the main cause of man-made global warming. At the same time, they'll, turn around and spray these heavy metals into the air that affect our health and affect the very atmosphere that they're destroying, the very atmosphere they're claiming to protect. It is hypocrisy at its finest. And I came across one of your articles just doing some preliminary research on this from 2014. The government-coordinated chemtrail conspiracy continues unabated.
But again, I just want to remind you and everyone else, let's use the proper term. Although that's in the article, let's use the proper terminology to get more mileage. And
That article may have been from a former webmaster as well. We have, there's about 2,000 articles plus on our site, the data repository. We have no ads, no politics. So there may be some other articles that got by my attention at a certain point in time. But the hypocrisy, if I could elaborate on that a bit more, and let's put this in a very simple context for the environmentalists or anybody on any side of the fence. Let's make this point perfectly clear. You cannot have a legitimate discussion about the environment or especially the climate or the state of the climate without first and foremost addressing the largest, mathematically, the largest climate disrupting factor of all. Not the only factor by any means. We've been poor stewards of our planet. But the largest disrupting factor of all, mathematically, is climate engineering. So how can anyone who claims to care about the environment think they're having a legitimate discussion about the climate unless or until they address this issue first?
Exactly. And I do want to say that the article that you just posted, what was it, Saturday, maybe? Friday, Saturday, something like that. The Geoengineering Watch Global Alert News, April 8th, 2017. Interesting indeed. You reference Obama, Bush, Clinton, of course, and Trump in this. You talk about Syria, the Syria situation, and many things. If you want to kind of expand upon that, I think that would fit well within the context of our programming today. If you want to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll lead this into climate engineering because it's all connected. The environment has historically produced 75% of all global GDP for free. No more. No longer. So no matter how much they fictitiously pump up the stock market to pacify people, to make them think the retirement accounts are still intact and somehow everything will work itself out, that's not the case. And at the point in time that those in power can no longer hide the severity of what's unfolding, the fact that the current paradigm is not sustainable, it's imploding, and that what they have done, climate engineering in particular, has prevented the planet from positively responding to the damage done. Let's look at the carbon content. We've had eras in Earth's history where the CO2 levels were significantly higher than they are today. And during those periods, we had often thriving ecosystems. Now, the Pliocene epoch, 5.2 million years ago, we had carbon counts considerably higher. We had a thriving Western U.S., not a droughted out, dying Western U.S. We also had sea levels that were 100 feet higher. That's a problem for civilization. So, again, back to their attempt to hide the severity of what's unfolding, that's part of why they're shading the more wealthy countries. And guys, I'm not sure if you saw that I posted about a week and a half ago data that reflected that globally, the first world militarized nations are warming at a much slower pace than the poorer nations. Now, how can that possibly be without climate engineering? So we have an attempt again to hide the severity once unfolding, and in the meantime doing a tremendous amount more damage. Had they not done climate engineering for the last 7+ decades on a large scale, the forests, because of increased rainfall, you must have more rainfall on a warming planet unless you have climate engineering, which blocks the sun, which thwarts evaporation, which reduces wind, which again reduces evaporation. Short of climate engineering, you would have forests around the globe that, because of these changes, would actually be thriving. They would be uptaking more carbon. They would be reducing atmospheric carbon. But because of climate engineering, because of the shredded ozone layer, because of the toxified soils, we have a completely disrupted hydrological cycle. We have more dry lightning because we have an ionized atmosphere. It's more electrically conductive. We have the worst of all aspects. We have forest foliage that's covered with aluminum, barium, and other heavy metals. These are incendiary dusts from every direction. Climate engineering is completely disrupting the planet's natural life support systems. So we're back to the power structure having committed us all to this experiment from no return, and we know they do this. This is business as usual. When they detonated nuclear bombs initially, they really didn't know what the chain reaction would be. Then they went on to detonate hydrogen bombs in the magnetosphere, and data indicates there's still ramifications from that today. These people are not sane. And for those who would say they would never do this to themselves, that excuse simply does not hold water. How many things have those in power done to themselves already? And as you guys correctly mentioned, Fukushima. Fukushima is a nuclear volcano with no technology to fix it, no end in sight. Fukushima may eventually cause a demise of huge sections of the planet, if not the whole planet, if other aspects don't get us first. And they're building 60 more nuke plants right now. We're not dealing with sanity. We have enough nuclear weaponry to kill mathematically human life on Earth about 12,000 times over, not dealing with sanity. So people need to look through a clear lens. They need to stop living on ideology, bias, and preconception, and understand that if we continue to interfere with Earth's life support systems, and climate engineering being mathematically the greatest and most immediate threat we face, short of nuclear cataclysm, we don't deal with that, nothing else will matter.
Very interesting, and I know that you addressed this in your article on your website. A couple of a number of emails to the studio wanting to know your take, your opinion, whether President Donald Trump, number one, knows about the process of climate engineering using aircraft. Number two, has the power to stop it. And three, if he does or doesn't, why hasn't he taken steps to do so, or has he?
I sort of skipped over that when I got going to try to lay this out. I apologize for that. Let's talk about Mr. Trump. Yes, he knows. There's no question he knows. A retired U.S. Air Force Major General that I've been communicating with and working with directly for a year and a half held a meeting in his home with Trump's top campaign people and Carson's top campaign people about a year and a half ago. They were all given materials supplied by geoengineeringwatch.org, very comprehensive materials, inarguable proof of this issue. And what do we see happening? And as an article I published about 2 weeks ago, making clear that Trump's appointees are absolutely 100% in favor and supportive of geoengineering. And when I point out that type of criticism, I'm careful to make sure people understand the case is true with Obama's, Clinton's, Bush's, and everyone else going all the way back to the start of these programs in the mid-1940s. And we have the congressional documents to prove this. We have congressional documents, Senate documents, to prove collusion between competing nations like Russia, China, and the U.S. completely cooperating on this issue. Whatever other visible surface tensions there are between these nations, they are absolutely completely cooperating on the climate engineering issue, because they're all doing it, they're all covering for each other, they're all doing it for their own reasons, and there's, because of the cross-border ramifications, they have to cooperate, and the Senate documents speak of this cooperation. And your listeners can look at this and look at, they can read these statements for themselves, that even as of 1978, when this particular document was drafted, it names 12 federal agencies, 10 major universities. Climate engineering is a global Manhattan Project. And to explain to your listeners as well, the difference between climate engineering and localized regional weather modification programs, completely different animal. In fact, the localized weather modification programs are simply a red herring to distract people from what's really going on. So when you see a small single engine propeller driven plane with some flares strapped to the wings, that's simply a distraction. Compare that to a KC-35 that can carry 60 to 70 tons, KC-10, C-17 Globemaster. We're talking about massive payloads. The world's most recognized geoengineer, David Keith, they specifically have named on the record a goal. This is on film, by the way. Your listeners can look at this. I would challenge them to search my name and David Keith. Search Dane Wigington, David Keith, and you'll see me confronting Dr. Keith at an international geoengineering conference where he truly misstepped with what he said, as he admitted after he stated on the record that their goal was to put 20 million tons of aluminum nanoparticulates, and this is a staggering amount of material, it's incomprehensible, but that was their goal annually, to put that much in the atmosphere. And when I confronted him, he admitted on the record that they have done no toxicological studies whatsoever. They do not care about the consequences. So back to Trump, I would argue this, that he, like Obama, like Bush's, like Clinton's, is on the end of a leash of the military-industrial complex. And we're back to what's happening in Syria right now. Ultimately, it all comes down to resources. It all comes down to what I started to go into and didn't quite finish up, and that my fault. I didn't quite wrap that up. When we have the type of biosphere implosion going on, we have the military-industrial complex desperate for resources. Now we're back to Syria. We're back to the grand chessboard. The stated on the record goal by Brzezinski, going back to Johnson, stating that to topple the Middle Eastern countries was the objective. We have Wesley Clark. A week after 9/11, guys, you remember this, when Wesley Clark stated that he was told a week after 9/11, he was given the list of countries that were going to be taken down. Do you guys remember that?
Absolutely.
So this is all part and parcel of the quest for remaining resources while they know the biosphere is imploding. Back to climate engineering, which is accomplishing many, many things for them. Not only does it allow them to win a war against a country without firing a shot, and I alluded to that earlier, we have Pakistan in 2010 started to show resistance to U.S. policy. Immediately, their country was laid waste with record flooding. We have Thailand, 2011, refused the U.S. an airbase. They knew us for weather modification. Record flooding again. We have other countries that are in that same category. There's always a climate cataclysm for any country that doesn't toe the line. And that same business as usual is going on right now. It's going on right now because in the Middle East we had the leaders of Iran. Your listeners can also look this up because I never ask anyone to believe me. I ask them to investigate. The leaders of Iran have been on the floor of the UN stating on the record that NATO, U.S. NATO weather modification programs were droughting out their countries. Let's look at all the Middle Eastern countries that have been toppled. And this is where I'm weaving this into climate engineering. Could we really consider it a mathematical coincidence when every single one of those countries went through a once-in-1,000-year drought prior to the destabilization? Can we really think that's a coincidence? No.
Hardly. Wow.
So
that alone should speak volumes. Okay. So if President Donald J. Trump knows, like you say he does, and I believe that he does, yet it continues, you're saying he's held hostage on a leash by the military-industrial complex, basically, is what I'm hearing. I'm just curious, why not call a news conference and say, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the United States, here's what's going on. Kind of a State of the Union, non-union address.
If Mr. Trump had any such intention, I don't know that he does one way or the other. I can't claim to know what his motives are ultimately, as I couldn't claim that with Obama or Clinton's or the rest. We certainly know that these are all criminals I'm speaking about. You couldn't begin to count the Clinton's crimes, could we? I mean, why aren't they in jail? Why hasn't Trump followed through with that as well?
I
would argue that all of this is just a grand play. As convincing as it might be for one side or the other, how many people were convinced that Obama was something different? Was he? Obama that prosecuted more whistleblowers than all other administrations combined? Clinton's, we don't even need to go there. I think most people know, have some idea of the length of their crimes, going back how far. I would argue that the entire office of the presidency is simply a grand facade. And anybody who's put in there has been put in there by those in power, however convincing it may be. And I know that there may be infighting in the power structure, but certainly the criminal corporate media, which I'm very grateful for men like yourselves that are trying to get the truth out, because we see from CNN to MSNBC to Fox, maybe they portray a different light on some things, but ultimately all of them, it's one way or another towing the line for the power structure, and they were attacking Mr. Trump. I don't argue that. But what happened as soon as Trump started dropping bombs, they stopped their criticism and got right behind him. And ultimately, this is all what we would expect from the power structure. And I want to stress this. The danger that the power structure poses at this moment in time, because there are very real and very immediate biosphere collapse issues going on. We have marine ecosystem collapse all over the globe. Not only do we have wild salmon collapsing, guys, did you see that the official sources going back about 30 days categorized the collapse of Pacific salmon as cataclysmic? Did you guys happen to see that headline?
Yes. Yes, we did. And Stan Deo, a regular guest on our show, pointed out that they're not only with the salmon, but there is a mass percentage, I believe over 90% of the wildlife in the Pacific Ocean is dying, from plankton all the way up.
Yeah.
The bottom of the food chain collapse for the reasons I outlined earlier. We now have fish farms collapsing as well. We have crops collapsing. Mongolia in 2016 lost 80% of their crops. Crops are collapsing everywhere. The UV intensity is unimaginably detrimental to the biosystems of the planet. We have photosynthesis. Now, when you put these light scattering particles up, you alter the light wavelength form. We don't have studies on that. Certainly it radically affects photosynthesis, but we don't even have study on that because governments want to make sure there are no studies on such things because they don't want anyone to know. What we do know is that photosynthesis stops at 104 degrees. It tapers down to that point and it stops at 104 degrees. We've had temperatures already in late March and early April, in from Africa to India, we've had temperatures that early in the year of 125 degrees. Our media doesn't cover this. And so for your listeners to understand the degree to which they can create temporary toxic cool downs in places like the U.S., you guys remember all the snow in Boston in 2014, 2015, right?
Yes. Yes, and we've got some of that here in the Middle Atlantic, yeah.
So those are chemically nucleated events. We can see it happening on radar. I've captured it multiple times on radar loops where you can see bands of drifting rain cells that suddenly, without any reason based on the laws of physics, flash out to frozen precipitation at above freezing temperatures. How can that happen? Happens from chemical ice nucleation.
Now, for example, the Boston snowfall. Why? I'm curious as to why they would do that. Is there a specific reason?
Yes. To cause the societal division and confusion over an unimaginably important issue, the state of the biosphere, the state of the climate. So when they can create a condition like that, even for somebody in California, for example, in 2014, when we were 90 degrees in winter, 90. But when they see a headline like that, and they don't want to believe there's anything wrong with the planet because they hate Al Gore. We all hate Al Gore, right? I mean, Al Gore's a hypocrite, an unimaginable hypocrite. We know that. But that doesn't mean that everything he said was false. In fact, I would argue this. Much of what Al Gore presented is false in the opposite direction of what people think. It's far worse than anything Mr. Gore has stated. But for me, when a man is a hypocrite as he is, owning stock in the very companies he claims to be trying to struggle against, I have no stomach for that hypocrisy. But when you create that kind of event like they did in Boston, when they make it snow in the pyramids, when they make it snow in the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, and people see that headline, that's all they need to solidify them in their opinion, in their denial, and now we have division in the population, just like they create division with race, other issues, political. Divided houses cannot stand, and the same is true, especially in this most important issue, the state of the biosphere, which allows us to live on this planet. When you destroy that, we're back to game over. So when they create these kinds of headlines, it creates immense doubt in people's minds that there's anything wrong with the climate at all. Even though at the same time Boston was getting record snow, there was no snow in some locations 14,000 feet up in the Sierras. And let me give an example of chemical ice nucleation that happened about 6 weeks ago in Northern California. We had warm moisture flowing in out the Pacific, somehow magically made it over these 6,000-7,000 foot coastal ranges without dropping any snow. It was still rain, but somehow it snowed at the valley floor in Redding, California at 500-foot elevation. At the very same time as that moisture went over locations east of Redding, locations as high as 14,000 feet, still raining. Tell me how it can snow at 500-foot elevation at above-freezing temperatures and still rain at 14,000 feet. This is happening, and we have the patents for this process. It's important your listeners understand that. Fox News, Popular Science all covered the fact that the Chinese government was artificially nucleating snowstorms, exactly what I'm describing. Your listeners can look that up. I would challenge them, look that up, and they'll find out how this is being used as a tool to confuse the population on the true state of the climate. They're manipulating data as well. We're seeing an underreporting of temperatures, 4 and 5 degrees, in every location we check. And when they chemically nucleate a layer, it creates a shallow layer of cold air at the surface, so you have much higher temperatures aloft. So it's not really cooling things down. It's only hiding the problem. I'm communicating directly with pilots, Gulfstream pilots, two of them, that contacted me because they were so alarmed that the temperatures they're seeing at altitude, in some cases 35 and 40 degrees above anything they've seen before, temperatures so warm at above 40,000 feet in some instances, the alarms went off in their aircraft. This recently happened. They had to descend, emergency descent, because there was not enough density in the air because the temperatures were too warm. So what I'm saying is the severity of our situation, the immediacy of it, is far beyond what most people understand, and climate engineering is being used as a tool to hide that and to confuse and divide the population, as well as weather warfare, as well as over-the-horizon radar, as well as DARPA, EMP weapons. There's a long list of agendas being carried out. But I simply would challenge your listeners to investigate anything, everything I'm saying, and understand that climate engineering is the crown jewel of global power structures, the absolute crown jewel. They can win a war, they can subdue populations, and I would argue this. We know what they're spraying is toxic. We already know that. The lab tests prove it. We have lab tests from around the globe. If things get too bad, if the population really begins to wake up, I would ask your listeners, and we should all consider this, what would prevent them from making this this spray mix a bit more lethal and leveling the playing field? What would prevent them from doing that?
Nothing. And then you just wait for the right, you know, the right opportunity, the right time. Whenever it would fit their agenda, they would go right ahead.
Wow.
And
do
it. I'm simply saying that the severity of what's unfolding is in that category. Those in power certainly don't care what they do, not to the U.S. citizens or not to our troops. Your listeners should remember Agent Orange. Did those pilots think that they were poisoning their comrades on the ground? Of course not. They were told, don't worry, won't hurt your fellow soldiers on the ground. How many, you guys have all seen the nuclear test, right? We have a bunch of soldiers out there being told, wear these goggles, you'll be fine. Don't worry about the radiation, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's what we have.
Oh, man. Okay. What
that's how serious it is.
Continuing on at this, we have about 5 minutes left. If they continue doing what they're doing at the pace they're doing it at, how much time we got?
Not
before,
much.
Yeah.
Not in this course. Let me put this in mathematical terms. At the rate we're losing species right now, we're losing species on planet Earth at nearly 300 a day. That's 300 species of plant, animal, and insect going extinct every single day. And for those that would argue it's all natural, it's all happened before, that's absolute nonsense. Mathematically speaking, that rate is 15,000 times the background rate. That's 1.5% of normal, and there's nothing normal about that. We've lost 60% of Earth's wildlife in the last 40 years. 60%. And this is an unimaginably non-linear equation. You need to understand that term. Your listeners need to consider that, non-linear. At the rate we're progressing on this trajectory right now, mathematically speaking, we will have a completely different planet in 10 years. And if we stay on this trajectory, we'll have a lifeless planet. And that's how severe our situation is. And it will seem like this can't be true to people until they find their shelves are emptied out, as we talked about in the beginning of the show. And I want to stress this. Your listeners probably don't know this. The U.S. is importing tens of billions of dollars worth of food from abroad to keep U.S. stores stocked up, to hide the severity of what's happening to the U.S. population. They're importing food from countries that are starving to death at the barrel of a gun in order to keep our shelves stocked, because that keeps the U.S. population pacified. And the U.S. population is the largest potential counterbalancing force left on the planet. We must wake up the U.S. population. Before we run out of time, if I could get to how people can help, because everyone can have a huge part in changing our trajectory, in salvaging what's left, if they simply help us to credibly sound the alarm, and I stress the word credibly and efficiently. There are instructions on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org on the upper left column, activist suggestions. There are many links within that link. Full instructions on how to help. If you arm yourself with credible data, like the flyers that we have on our site, you can download for free and print locally, and you pass those on, you're planting seeds with people, but as they start to look up, connect the dots, they're going to wake up, understand they're fighting for their lives. You can't fight a battle without an army. We need an army of the awakened, and every one of your listeners can help us reach that army. And if we can reach critical mass, we will yet alter the equation, even at this late hour.
Dane Wigington, right. Dane Wigington, geoengineeringwatch.org. Folks, I would urge everyone to go to his website and download those documents. Let's fight and contact and support this man. He's got a donation button there. He doesn't do it. This costs money to do what he does. And he's doing all of us a service. And I want to say thank you so much.
And there's so much content on the website.
Yes.
Between, you know, audio, video.
Yep.
He's got tons of interesting information from relevant articles to pointing out, you know, from climate change to covering all these different summits that go on and pointing out the hypocrisies. This is your one-stop shop for the geoengineering chemical warfare that we've been enduring as a population for some time now. And Mr. Wigington, I want to thank you so much for doing the work that you do. It's very important.
Credibly sound the alarm, folks. As he said, credibly sound the alarm and use the proper terminology so we can get the point across. Mr. Wigington, thank you. God bless you, my friend.
If I can express my gratitude back to both of you, no matter how much work and research I do or we do, and no matter how much data we post, without media people like yourselves showing the courage to help us disseminate that information, we wouldn't get it out. So this is absolutely a team effort. It's all of us working together that can still make the difference. My deepest gratitude to both of you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Look forward to hearing from you in the future here.
Yeah, and please support Mr. Wigington and his work and spread the word, because we need to be in the fight. God bless you, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Greg.
Wow. All right. That's a fantastic website, by the way.
Yeah.
His website.
Absolutely. Very informative, and it's a topic that, you know, with this heavy news cycle we have, with the terror attacks, with the political division, the lies, the insanity out there, you know, topics like this, topics like Fukushima, seem to fall under the radar.
Y'all don't think we need to be prepared?
I mean, it's just as bad as you know, drinking contaminated water or eating poisonous food. We are being poisoned. Not only are they manipulating the weather, not only are they, continuing to spray heavy toxic metals into the air, this affects our health directly. It affects the health of us, our plants, and anything that's outside, and it needs to be continued to be investigated. And thank you, Dane, for all your hard work. We'll be right back.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God particle before CERN actually discovered the God particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest-yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high-net-worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations.
Doug and Joe Hagman
diversify
here.
Wisely
Joe,
with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in this community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.